You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina, and globally at WPVMFM.org.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Lots of sunshine across western North Carolina today. A high near 80 here in the city. Partly cloudy tonight, the low going down to 53. On Monday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms with a high near 72. Chance of scattered showers Monday evening, then mostly cloudy and drying out overnight with a low around 44. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Broadcast on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM and featured on over 100 radio, TV, and podcast platforms nationwide. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern or listen anytime online. Visit DawnMarieWestmoreland.com.
Welcome back. If it's your first time, hey, we're glad to have you here. I have the wonderful Kate Thurman on today, and I got to know her because of Cyrus Webb, who's been a PR media Amazon influencer, and I would even call him a friend. He's just amazing. Kate, where are you coming from? Let the audience know where you're coming from. What city?
Hi, Don. I am in Riverdale, Georgia, about 20 minutes from Atlanta, not far from the airport. I'm sitting in the center of those two places. Thank you for having me.
Now, that is really convenient if you travel. And everyone, before we started the interview, we were talking. We both grew up as country girls, and here we are, you know, moving forward. So it doesn't matter if you grew up in a small town or the country. You can be anything you want to be. You have a mission to help people, and you've been through some medical experiences, and you've been through life trauma, and I want to know a little bit about it, and our listeners too. You know, why are you out there today helping people, Kate?
I feel called to do it. It's one of those things, and you know, when you're younger, you kind of know, because you have an urge to do these things, and I've always been a giver, always. Even my husband, my kids as well. I just love to give. I'm not one that I do a lot of receiving, and I'm okay with that. It fills my heart to give, and I feel like that's what I'm called to do. It's everything we do, we give. I want to just give, 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 give.
Yeah. Now, you shared earlier some of your medical background. I think that helps a lot. So many people are out there suffering with autoimmune disorders, cancer, and more. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what you've been through?
Yes. I've had several miscarriages, and I talk about it a little bit in my book, but I have PCOS. I've had it for over 25 years, that I was diagnosed 25 years ago. And it was a shock to me. And even when I first got diagnosed with it, mm-hmm. I really didn't know exactly what it entailed or what it meant. Yeah. And living with that, some of the things that comes with that is you have the facial hairs, unwanted weight gain. I don't even eat that much, but with PCOS, you just got a lot going on. So my husband and I have high blood pressure now. With my kids, I had preeclampsia. And so with my husband and I, we wanted to have a baby, and it just... I kept miscarrying, and I knew that PCOS, even though I live with it, I know I'm like, okay, well, I'm one in a million because I can get pregnant. A lot of people with PCOS, it causes infertility. Some people can't, you know, get pregnant. And for me, it just takes a long, long, long time. And so a year and a half, 2 years ago, I went, and then I found out I had Turner mosaic syndrome. And, you know, they called me in. We were traveling 2 hours, 2.5 hours one way for a fertility specialist. I remember they said it was so complex because they said it doesn't go with your PCOS. Like the two, it was looking at the paper, I didn't believe it. With the, I still can't tell you how this is possible. So having two infertility diseases and with the high blood pressure now, just different things. I suffered with migraines for years. One job I had to leave abruptly because I passed out. I was still going to work. Just different things that's happened to me over with health issues over the years. I'm just like, wow.
Wow, goodness. When I think about, miscarriages, I think of my 85-year-old mom who I love dearly, and she had five miscarriages, and she always wanted to have a very big family, and she ended up, everybody became her child. Either I don't know about you. We growing up, we had everybody in our house. She didn't turn anybody away. Well, how did you not only survive, I mean, how did you get to where you are today thriving? Because that's a lot to deal with.
It's a lot. The grace of God. When you know you're called to do something, you know you have a purpose and a mission, there's nothing that's going to stop you. Through it all, you still have to continue to push through. You still have to continue to do what you're called to do. You have a purpose here. And you just have to keep the faith, and you just have to continue to push through. You have to continue to say, I have, there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. I'm called to do something, and I have to continue on until I get that done.
When did you really know that you had a mission? Was it in the beginning, the middle, the end of going through all your health problems?
I think in the beginning, I knew something. But then in the middle, like, okay, my sister died on my birthday. And
Oh, no.
yeah, and then I ended up raising her three kids. Before she passed away, she asked to take her three kids. And so I thought that was it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just called to just, because I wanted a big family. And I remember saying, what am I going to do with five kids? And I knew that God had a plan for me. And so what happened was, even through then, that was in the middle. But it wasn't until I had this last miscarriage. And that last miscarriage, it hit me stronger than ever, even though I knew I was called to do things. But these past couple of years, these past 4 or 5 years, I just knew I couldn't stop, and I had to go and go and go and go. And so I knew towards the end, to the here lately.
Yeah. So what kind of help are you providing to others? Are you doing advocate work, any coaching, consulting, speaking, writing?
I do writing.
Didn't ask you a whole bunch of questions yet.
I do it all. So I do writing, I
Everything.
consult, I minister to women who suffer in silence like I did. We give back with our nonprofit, Angelically Blessed Incorporated. We help families impede in homelessness. We do it all. I coach, I do it all. Whoever needs, it doesn't matter what you need, the Lord is going to give me what I need to provide to you. Because it doesn't come from me, it comes from him.
No, I get that so very much. So I want to talk about your books that you have out right now. You told me earlier you had an anthology book, and those are great. I love hearing about anthology books.
Thank you. So I joined, She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically with Shanelle Coleman Wesley. That was her anthology, and my chapter was called Walking in My True Divine Purpose. And I remember when I got ready to join the anthology, and she said, what do you want to say? How do you want to touch women? What do you want to do? And it was a quick coaching session. And I tell her all the time, I said, I went back, I got off the call with her, and I was like, I had raised my eyebrow a little bit because I was like, do I really want to do this? Do I want to put all my business out there? Do I want to do this? I know I want to help people. I know I'm supposed to do this. I did it. And the feedback that I got on that chapter, they was like, oh my God, it was one of the most inspirational chapters that was there. And after I had my final miscarriage, my most recent miscarriage, I wrote In the Midst. I didn't wait. I wrote that book in the midst of my storm, in the midst of my grief. Beauty Beyond the Tears, Finding Strength After Loss. And I knew even then that I still wanted to help people through the writing. I wanted to help people. I had to minister to people even through my pain. I had to help people.
That is very, very powerful. And how do people find you? And I'm going to mention this later on. Sometimes people jump in during the middle of a radio show. Where can we find your books, Kate?
My books are on Amazon, so it's Beauty Beyond the Tears, or you can put in Kate Thurman, you'll see my book. And for the anthology, you can just type in She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically. That's where you can find the books.
Mm-hmm. So many people are suffering in silence. In fact, I just wrote a post about it on my social media, and I was shocked. In 5 minutes, the last person I ever thought would reach out to me, you know, reached out and said, I needed to see this today or read this today. We love stories, Kate. Can you share a story about, you don't have to say their name, but just somebody that you've helped recently to get on their feet again and not only survive, maybe they're thriving?
Yes, it was. The first family was a family of eight, but here recently it was a family of six. And my husband and I were driving, and it was a young man with his five sisters living in a hotel.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we did all we could to help him to, you know, to get stabled. Mm-hmm. And then I went, and it was another family. It was a young lady. And as I'm walking out of the store, I'm like, she had the merchandise she was trying to sell. And the Lord told me, yeah, don't give her $5 for her hat. And I said, no, I can't give you $5. I gave her the website for her to reach out, because she told me that it was her and her kids living in a hotel. But I knew that. I just mm-hmm. felt it. And mm-hmm. we're in the process of helping her now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting chills up my arm, which always for me is kind of like divine intervention saying, yes, you know, that did happen. Yes. Wow. That's incredible. Because you really don't have to look far to see people suffering. So, you know, I did a little research on you. I'm kind of the nerdy kind of person who loves to learn as much as I can about my guests and other people. Do you have that gift? That prophetic gift of just, you mentioned a sense of knowing somebody is hurting, they're in pain, or something's going on with them.
Yeah, I do. I am. I do have it. Sometimes it's just when the Lord speaks to me and I call people and they'll literally say, wow, how did you know? Things, especially when you have an unction and you know things that you have no way of knowing, only from the Holy Spirit. And so it's not something that I'm ashamed of, but it's something that I only move when I am told by God to speak to someone. And a lot of times I can tell people, oh, okay, write it down. You know, this is going to happen. Or, and I have a gift of empathy. So when someone is down or sick or something, I can feel it. And so I do have a prophetic gift. I absolutely do.
That's amazing. Yes. And I have a very, very, very good friend who also has that gift and uses it to help many people near Savannah, like 14 counties. She's a major, just a major force. Her name's Angela Thomas. We worked together in the Veteran Affairs many years ago and have remained very close friends. Yeah. What would you say to somebody who's listening in right now and they're going through struggles? There's so many struggles out there, but they feel hopeless, or maybe they feel silenced, or they feel demeaned by their experiences. What would you give them? What kind of advice would you give them?
I would tell them not to give up. Keep your faith and keep your trust. God is going to send someone. As long as you trust God, do know that there's a plan for everyone. We all have a plan and a purpose. Never give up on what you're supposed to be doing. Always, always look to the Lord. Just keep the faith.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to, you know, you're talking about being empathic. When did you realize that you had these different God-given abilities? That's what I like to call them.
I think it was, well, being prophetic, I've always knew that, but knowing that, for example, sometimes, especially when I'm in the presence of God and I've called one of my I was sitting and I called someone, and it's like I could just feel the like when they're in pain. And I've called, and I'm someone I knew recently, I knew was going to be sick, and I knew, and I called, and I got fussed at a little bit, but afterwards, I'm like, wow. So that's what I mean when I, the gift of empathy, I just know, I know things. And, you know, here recently, I think it was about a year ago, I was on a live with someone, and I knew when, I'm like, somebody has a headache, because I have a headache.
So I guess you're picking up their energy or their, yeah, what's going on with them. Well, yeah. I'm curious, because I understand the sensitivity and being empathic. How do you keep yourself well-rounded, you know, and grounded and from burning out? Because there's a lot of people out there that need help. How do you keep yourself, you know, from burning out?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the grace, God gives you the grace that's needed to do this. I don't work a 9-to-5 anymore. Last year, I was doing a lot of things, and I just couldn't do it all. And then the Lord called me off of my job. And I remember telling my husband, I was telling my friends, I'm like, God's called me off work. And I was like, oh, goodness. But just like I could tell everyone else to have faith, I needed the same faith. So I had to have the same faith. And having that faith, God provides. So that's knowing that God has me covered. There's nothing impossible for God. Knowing that his grace, because his word said his grace is sufficient for you. So I know that his grace is sufficient for me. And then I have people. I have my husband and my family. I have my friends. I have Cyrus, you know, and he's not just my publicist and manager. He's my friend. And, you know, he's not afraid to say, like my husband's not afraid to say, my daughter and my family is just not afraid to say, you're doing too much. It's time for you to lay down. It's time for you to sit down. It's time for you to take some time. And I know, because the Lord will say, okay, sit with me. So, and I know how to, I'm getting better with, oh no, I need some time. I need to sit with the Lord. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I get that, taking time off. So do they usually have to tell you to slow down and take a break, or do you realize it yourself?
In the past, it's more them telling me. Now they still tell me, but I'm able to recognize, okay, all right, I need to take a break.
And that's a good subject too, burnout. I mean, it comes up a whole lot, Kate, you know, especially women trying to be powerful, you know, in their jobs, you know, as mothers, as partners with their husbands and such. What keeps you going? What keeps you grounded also?
I would say my walk with the Lord and my family, knowing that my first ministry is home. My first ministry is my family. So after God is my family, my husband, and they being grounded and knowing that I have a ministry at home, helps me stay grounded in everything else that I have to do. Because again, I didn't always do that. I didn't always. I'm a go, 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 go,
go, go, go, go. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So, you know, they had to say, come back. Sarah, he'll say, come back, Kate, come back, you know, because I, you know, when God gives me a vision or I have a business idea or I have any kind of idea, I like to take it and run. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. But not all ideas that he gives you right now is for right now. Mm-hmm. Some is for the future. And so sometimes you have to just pivot and be grounded in what you're working on or what you're doing in that moment. Mm-hmm.
So you wrote your books and you're speaking also? Are you going out and speaking to organizations or maybe churches?
Yeah, so I have a lot of speaking engagements or speaking events that I do myself. And one ministry underneath, because my nonprofit is a domestic nonprofit. We help the public, but we do have faith-inspired ministries. So I have to make sure that everyone knows that this is not just a faith-based, because it is faith-based underneath, but our nonprofit itself is a domestic nonprofit. But we have faith-based ministries underneath it. One is Faith Safe Haven Women's Ministry. So we put on empowerment luncheon, and I do speaking. I do speaking there. I speak whoever I'm invited somewhere this summer, a couple of places where I do some speaking engagement. So whenever I'm booked, I will come and do a speaking engagement. I will speak in a summit. So I do. Yeah. And mind you, I'm someone that didn't like to speak in public.
Yeah, and your experience brought you to here. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yes. Yes. Well, you're talking about you have all the tools and God, you know, delivers and supports you. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a mentor who's always said when you're fulfilling your life's mission, all the resources and connections will appear to help support you.
Yeah.
That's right. What kind of people are helping you today with your ministries?
Oh, when I first started, I just took off and I thought that everybody that came were the ones that was meant. But the people I have now are God-fearing people, my mm-hmm. board members. I have people that with a heart of giving, and it's just wonderful. Having people with the heart of giving, that God, like God sent these people here to help us. And I'm so thankful for everyone that helps us. I'm so thankful.
Kate, have you ever been surprised by a resource or connection coming in to help you? I mean, just totally like, oh my gosh, I never saw that happening.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Jo Marie Malave, she's a good friend of mine. We're spiritually just connected. And she called me out of the blue in September. And she said, the Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do this for your nonprofit. And I was so surprised. I was so surprised. And I had to say her name because I love her. I was so surprised. all of the things that she does for me. Oh, my God, to help me behind the scenes. And it was just, that was the biggest surprise. The first surprise, I won't say the only surprise, but the biggest and the first surprise, knowing that she said, no, God told me to do this. So I'm going to help you here and I'm going to help you there. And I'm like, oh, God, thank you.
Oh, that's powerful. You know, for the folks that are listening in, if they're wondering about, you know, connections and resources appearing for them to help them, whatever it is, whether it's their personal life, their business life, any advice on that?
Yeah, I would say pivot. I would say take your time. I would say, you know, my advice is always to have faith and trust God, but take your time and trust the process. It's a process in what you're doing. So always know that the process is a process.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, you know, you have nonprofit, and sometimes nonprofits, they're always out there scrambling for grants and money and donation. If there's anybody that really feels called, you know, to support you, where would they go to? Is it online, your website, where they can donate if they wish mm-hmm. to donate?
The website is angelicallyblessedinc.org. And we welcome all donations. We need them. We do everything out of our pockets. So we don't have grants just yet. So my husband and I actually help people out of our own pockets.
So should we bring in a grant writer, somebody that can help you? Is there anybody out there that does grants?
Yeah. We have Jo Marie. So she was like, God is showing me how to do this, and I'm going to start trying to write these grants. So, yeah, but, yeah, we do have her that's just setting up the systems. And so we welcome all the help that God sends us.
Mm-hmm. And your ministries, your nonprofit, you said is about domestic abuse. There must be a story behind that.
Yeah, so our nonprofit is a domestic nonprofit. We serve the public, but underneath it is Faith Safe Haven. So we help women who suffer in silence from domestic abuse and all kinds of abuse and financial restraint. But the nonprofit itself, we help families impeding homelessness. So the program underneath, we do the counseling part for women who, you know, suffered in silence from those types of things. But we, the main focus of the nonprofit is to help families or individual impeding homelessness, whether if it's paying your power bill or your water bill or your phone bill or paying your rent, whatever that means to keep you in your house.
Right. And I'm glad you're talking about this because, you know, when you help somebody like that, it certainly has a rippling effect, you know, on them, their families, their loved ones, the community, the greater world and such. You know, I want to ask you, just changing things a little. We're in a divided world with all kinds of, you know, opinions on what's right, what's wrong. Mm-hmm. For people who are just so tired of all the negativity, and there's a lot of negativity out there, how do they protect themselves from that negativity? How do they rise above all the negativity?
The way I do it is I pray, and I don't try to surround myself with people that's going to make me feel like what I'm saying is wrong, because I do believe that we all have our own opinions, and that's okay. I don't like to make people feel like what they say is right or wrong. If it's something that I don't support, if it's someone that doesn't support you, then you shouldn't be around that person. So I would say if you're in a situation where you're surrounded by a lot of negativity, it's probably a good idea to maybe change your environment and pray and ask God, because I pray and ask God to remove the people that he did not send. Because sometimes, you know, people come that's not supposed to be in your life, or it's only supposed to be there for a season. And when that season is over, I go into prayer. Okay, Lord, can you move these people? If this person is meant to be here, can you teach me how to deal with this situation? Yeah. God, me, Holy Spirit. That's what I say.
I like what you just said. Teach me how to deal with this person. Yeah. I will say this. One of the meanest, most narcissistic persons in my life taught me the most.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I've had, and that causes trauma. And so I had to learn to remove myself from the person or the people who are very toxic. And then they try to make you feel like you're the one that's causing a toxicity. No. I'm not going to let you speak that on me. No. Lord, help me deal with these people, with this person, or this situation.
I get it. I do. I used to pray, oh God, please save me. And then I learned, no, what can I learn from this experience? What if you can't get, you know, what if you can't leave them? What if it's a family member, Kate? That's a big one. I meet a lot of people with family members that are toxic acting, and they can't remove themselves from the family totally.
That's a tough one. When we have those situations, I've had plenty of them. When we have those situations, I'm going to say in the past, I've cut myself off from even my family. Like, I'm not dealing with this. But now I can go back to those family members because I know who I am, and I'm in a different space spiritually, and I know I walk with Christ. So if now I can go back and they see me differently. And so even now they see a different Kate. So you won't get the same response from me that you got in the past, which the old Kate, I was shut down. Mm-hmm. I'm not dealing with it. And that's the old me. Now I'm going to attempt to talk to you and pray with you. And then I'm still going to go back to God and say, oh, okay, Lord, still help me deal with these people. And God will give me the words to say. And then, you know, they look at you differently because they see a light on you. So apparently they see this light on me, and I thank God. Form and I get a little bit more respect now, even from the family members, that we still have some toxic ones in the family. But even those toxic ones has been toxic all my life. They see me different and speak to me differently, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. So I'm assuming, Kate, that you're probably setting certain boundaries, like, no, you can't call me and be nasty, you know, on the phone or in person. I mean, Boundaries are really important.
I had to learn boundaries really early. I'll say we would not have this type of conversation. You will not call me. We will not talk about these types of things. You will not do this. I have a great day. And that's what I will say.
Kate, you're amazing. You've gone through, you've conquered, you've lost babies, miscarriages, you've conquered the disease.